kicking off hour number two in the White Claw Hard Seltzer studios of Fox Sports Knoxville and Fan Run Radio. This segment brought to you by Smarter Searches. Smarter Searches is an award-winning digital marketing agency that combines performance and creativity for incredible results. Locally owned and operated, Smarter Searches is Knoxville's top full-service digital marketing agency. No matter the industry, Smarter Searches has you covered for all your SEO, web design, and social media management. Plus, there is no outsourcing. Everything is done in-house. SmarterSearches.com. Drive profit for your business. Davey, do you have the quotes?
I have.
Do they instill confidence?
We're talking about for us or our opponents?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Us.
Wow. No, the answer is no. I guess the first one I'll start with has to do with Jeremy Pruitt on being asked why he believes the gap is closing between Tennessee and Alabama. And following our loss on Saturday night, Coach Jeremy Pruitt said, and I quote, I was there.
A direct quote?
Yeah. I was there 3 years ago when I walked in the room the first day. I know the people that are on their sideline, and I know the people that are on our sideline. I think I've got a pretty good idea and have been around some pretty good football teams to know when I see one and know when one is getting closer.
What do we lose this game by? 31?
31.
Yeah. Last year was 22, and the first year was 24?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I thought it was more than 24.
Do we think that Tennessee is a better overall football team in year three than they were in year one under Jeremy Pruitt? Just a better overall team. Not necessarily the record. Again, this is a kind of a weird year, but just a better team.
Than year one, yes.
I do too.
Than year two? No? I don't know.
I don't know. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Like five games into last year, I was out. Like, it was awful. Like, I mean, we were talking after game two, are we going to have to fire this guy?
But they turned it around.
They did turn it around. That's one of the reasons I'm a little slow to, you know, press the pull the lever on the guillotine here.
This far into the season last year, we were 1-4.
Right.
With losses to Georgia State and BYU.
And Florida and Georgia, right?
Yep. We had one win against Chattanooga, I think.
I don't know, man. I kind of view it as the tallest dwarf argument. Like, it doesn't really matter. I want to talk about how big of a gap it is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he has to say that. I don't know that I necessarily agree. And if it's – I don't think we've gotten significantly better. I think Bama might not be as good as they have been defensively, but offensively they're still really good. All right, at that quote, whatever. I think you kind of have to say, like, the gap's closing. Even if he doesn't necessarily believe it, but maybe he does.
Yeah, he had that. What was the specific quote where he said the gap is closing? It may not show on the scoreboard, but the gap is closing.
Yeah, it may not show on the scoreboard.
I can assure you that the gap is closing, and it might not show on the scoreboard today, but the gap is closing. I can assure you that. That's one thing that is frustrating to me, and it's frustrating to our players.
Any other good post-game quotes?
Define good.
Interesting.
Of note.
Look, you're the one who wanted to do. You're the one who brought up the quotes. Like, I can read them if it's just going to make you mad.
No, Pruitt did say his players are not discouraged. I can tell you we're not discouraged. There's nothing that's discouraging in our locker room. We're frustrated that we're not playing the way we expect to play. I think part of fixing it is recognizing it. I saw a lot of improvement, but it's going to take all of us to play at a high level and to beat those guys.
Okay,
all of us except for the backup quarterbacks.
Anything else?
I'm just looking. I don't know. It's just all coach speak. I really don't even. The one I wanted to really talk about was just the how he thinks the gap is closing. I don't. There's no more worth reading. I mean, there are some, but it's just.
I did see the one where he was talking about he knew exactly what he was taking over when he got the job, and that's why he wanted it. I think.
Because he said he wants to bring Tennessee back to where they should be.
Yeah, yeah.
when I look at our team, I really like our makeup. Got a lot of young guys that have the chance to be really good for us, and as they grow and develop, we'll continue to close that gap. Don't you have to play them? Getting that part of it.
They had a chance to grow and develop.
Yeah, that goes into one of the other quotes about you got to earn it in practice.
Oh, God.
This is tough, man. He's kind of backed himself into a corner. Because when you say things like, yeah, Jalin Hyatt would be playing more if he was a better practice player, but then he gets on the field and he has two catches for 88 yards and a touchdown. And I don't even know if he stepped out of bounds on the one, did he?
I don't think so.
I haven't seen a close replay, but sounds like he might have been in the whole time. We haven't seen much of Weidman, but the one catch he had from Bailey against Kentucky, like you see the athleticism there. I totally get it. Like he's kind of old school, earn it in practice, earn it in practice, earn it in practice. But they're still learning how to practice here. But I think you need to give them game reps to see. I mean, some guys are just gamers. Joshua Dobbs was not a good practice quarterback. Then he gets in the game and he's a baller. Jarrett Garantano, kind of the opposite. Really good in practice, can make all the throws and the checks and the reads, and then he gets into a game and one bad thing happens and the wheels fall off. It feels like we're stuck in 1920. It's 2020. Like we've got to change philosophy, and I think this is probably the product of a defensive-minded head coach. Like, we want our offense to go out there and just not make mistakes. Don't put us in bad spots. But in a game against Alabama where they're just going to score that much, you have to have an offense that can keep pace. You have to be willing to take chances. You have to.
He realizes he needs to score more points, but the idea, and I'm with you on that philosophy, like even Nick Saban has changed his approach
exactly
to how a game is coached and what you have to do in order to win. And the fact that Nick Saban's done that, and Pruitt always wants to compare himself, at least in regards of like Alabama's the top tier team in the SEC. That's the team you have to play every year. You want to beat them, and you want to talk about closing the gap. Well, I mean, if you want to emulate what they do, why do you not do that?
Yeah, like make the jump. Like go ahead and open up an offense and try to score. Yeah, your defense is going to be put in tight spots sometimes. It happens, but I'd rather have a defense be put in a tight spot when you're up 21 than when you're down 14 because you can't score. A buddy of mine sent me this over the weekend. I want to get your thoughts on it. He's not a Tennessee fan. He said, from an outsider's perspective, looking in at the balls, here's what I see. Pruitt doesn't coach like he's trying to win, minus the occasional onside kick. It's like he's afraid the game will get away from him at all times. God forbid you get a lead and play from ahead. It's hard for those defensive guys like Muschamp to shake that mentality. Look at what had to happen for Coach O to change his mindset. For better or worse, guys like Mullen, Kiffin, Riley, Leach, etc., they just let it all hang out. They're always trying to score and take advantage of the defense. Do you disagree with that?
Not at all.
Is it possible for him to change his philosophy in that regard and realize that like you just don't win games 10-7 anymore? Again, not against good teams, right? I mean, look at some of the most recent championship games. You know, it's Clemson, Bama in a shootout. It's
LSU scoring
63 points or whatever. Yeah. I mean, like, that's what it takes now. I mean, at the end of the game, I feel like Pruitt would look up and say, oh, we gave up 28 points. I don't care if you give up 28 if you score 60. Or if you if you score 38, like, you got to score points.
Yep.
Like, the game has changed so much. It favors the offenses now. You can get away with a lot more. It's easier now than it ever has been due to the changes in the game to score, and to throw the ball, to move it downfield.
You just need a pretty good quarterback. I mean, Josh Dobbs, he was great. I wouldn't say he's, you know, elite.
He was a good college quarterback.
He was pretty good, and we scored a ton of points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his last year we put up, 63 on Missouri, 50 on Kentucky?
Something like that, yeah.
50 on Vanderbilt? Or did we lose to Vandy?
His last year we lost.
Yeah.
Did beat Nebraska, though.
That was nice.
It's a philosophy thing. And I think the defensive-minded head coach in him wants to keep games low scoring and tight, but I don't understand why. Why would you not want to take every opportunity you have to move the ball down the field, score points? I said it earlier, like we're boring and we're bad. Like when we play conservative football, we're not good enough to do that. Like, you can get away with that if you're Alabama. They don't do that, but they could get away with being conservative. They could run it twice as much as they do and still win games. But Nick Saban, to his credit, several years ago said, maybe the game manager quarterback thing is a bad idea. Yeah, if you've got a lights-out defense, sure. It's hard to have a lights-out defense in 2020. Again, the rules are just different. The game has changed so much. Look at what Ole Miss did to him. Carved him up and down the field. So you need to adjust and realize that, hey, winning a game by 20, if you score in the 40s, yeah, it's not good for your defensive statistic. Who cares if you're winning?
Well, Georgia was, you know, we talked the first couple games of the year about how good Georgia's defense was, and Alabama carved him up.
Yep, scored 41.
Offense is just more important now. It just is.
I've seen Chaney call that style of offense. When he had Tyler Bray and our defense under Sal Cincere was just god-awful, Chaney knew we have to score every possession. And he called the games like that.
Wasn't that the – God, I think that was like – I was looking at some stats the other day. That was the second or third highest scoring in Tennessee history.
Mm-hmm.
Scoring season, excuse me.
Yeah, because you know, hey, defense ain't going to stop any – like, we need to play offense like that.
Yep.
Play offense – like the defense isn't going to stop anybody and realize that you're probably going to give up more points because the opposing offense is going to change their kind of game plan too. They're going to try to throw it all over the place. But we've got to develop a mentality of score, 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 not flip the field, not waste the clock. You just need to put as many points on the board as possible. Like, that's how you win games. It doesn't make any sense to try to play this, whoever makes the first mistake is going to... I don't care if you make 10 mistakes in the game. Big ones. Just score points.
And make less than the opponent. Less mistakes than the opponent.
Maverick tweets in and says, remember when Pruitt said he isn't going to coach scared? Wasn't that last week? 2 weeks ago? It feels like we coach scared.
It was weird. It was like you went through phases. There was a phase where we were just coaching to get out of the game in the third quarter, just to run the clock out. And then all of a sudden, we are throwing bombs all over the place, and then we put a backup in.
To hand the ball off.
Well, yeah, but we're going for it on fourth. It's like, what are we... There's no consistency
with
this.
I've said that since the Georgia game. Like, I just don't... It's almost like we don't know what we want to be. And I don't know if that's because we feel hamstrung at quarterback, we're not as good at certain spots as we'd like to be to do those things. I'm with Davey. I'm with pretty much everybody at this point. Like, you've got to go with a new guy. Because this team, this coaching staff, they do not think that they can run that type of offense with JG. He'll make too many mistakes. Okay, well, then get another guy ready. And if he's not ready now, get him game experience so he can get ready. Against Arkansas, I want to see more Brian Maurer. I want to see Harrison Bailey. Let's get them game reps and just see if we can begin to form a mentality and an attack that is going to stress defenses. Right now, if you're an opposing head coach, fan, player, who do you want Tennessee to roll out at quarterback each week? That's a problem. When the fifth-year senior starter is exactly who everybody wants to see, that's a problem. Like, you're giving everybody exactly what they want that isn't wanting Tennessee to win.
I mean, they flashed up there. It's been over 5,000 days since you beat Alabama. When was the last time you think we even led in a game against Alabama?
2015.
Yeah. So it's been 5 years since you've even led in a game.
And we didn't lead until the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, something like that.
Yeah, and then they went right back down the field.
Yep.
Well, that's actually a good thing. I mean, if you're able just to be in it in the fourth quarter. That's the last time you...
We were coming off a bye week, and they were on their eighth straight game. I think we caught them at, like, the perfect time. Probably should have won that one, but anyway. It's just time, man. You gotta flip it. You got to start playing for 2021. You got to start injecting some type of excitement and hope into this season if you can. I think that starts with a quarterback change. You got 2 weeks. Like, if we go through 2 weeks prepping for Arkansas and they roll out JG and he plays the whole game, even if you win, like, it's going to be a boring, just unenthusiastic, non-inspiring, just blah game. Like, that's not how you get this program back. Again, it's not 1920. It's 2020. Like, you have a good offensive coordinator. He's called offenses like this before. It's time to find one of these quarterbacks on your roster and cut it loose. Yep. Like, just start playing aggressive. Right now we are, it's like we can only get aggressive as soon as we cross the 50. Then we might take a shot. It's a mentality thing. And I don't know exactly where it stems from, but you got 2 weeks to figure this thing out. Otherwise, you're going to lose a lot of people. Interest.
Including recruits.
Somehow the recruiting. The recruits are like all in. Have you seen that? There hasn't been any, like, it's the exact opposite.
They've all reaffirmed their commitment. It's weird.
I'll take that. They got to recruit Davey, though. He's out. Feel bad for him.
We'll try.
He's turned to the bottle. Or were they cans? Were they cans?
Yeah, it was White Claw and Terrapin.
How was the mix? Was it good?
Well, I didn't start the Terrapin until I finished all the White Claw. That way you didn't have to worry about like going from
Claw before beer, you're in the clear.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt fine afterwards, but definitely a different style of taste. One's a little bit more fruity than the other.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
So I didn't want to mix it. But, it worked out. I didn't enjoy watching the game, but at least I was able to commiserate with others.
There was a lot of commiserating going on. We'll take a quick break. Three and Out continues after this. The G3 Help Me hotlines are fully loaded. We're going to get straight to them, get to these phone calls. Up first is Rusty. Rusty, you're on Three and Out. Good morning.
How's it going, man?
It's going.
Painful and excruciating. That's how it's going.
Yeah, it's not a fun place right now. You know, I keep falling back. Like, you're boring and bad. It's a terrible combination.
It's a horrible combination. You know, Houston, to be honest, I don't even know where to start here because I almost feel like, for full disclosure, I'm 43. I remember vividly the 90s. You know, I remember Tennessee football when it was good. I remember national championships, SEC titles. I remember beating Alabama, not just beating them, but wearing them out on the field. I remember doing to Bama what they did to us. But, you know, then I hear guys like Davey and Alex. They have no idea what that's like. No clue. Not old enough. You ain't felt it. And then, Davey, I'm going to help you out, brother, because we're talking about Pruitt quotes. There are two things that stuck out to me. The first quote was when he told us, as fans, that no one was more invested or frustrated than the people in that building. That's crap. He is financially invested. He is getting just over $4 million a year to be invested. He has not poured his entire life and enjoyment and pleasure into the University of Tennessee. As a matter of fact, he's been on the opposite end of the spectrum. He's smoked his cigars. He's hated on the orange. He's played against us. Don't give me that you and the people in that building. Matter of fact, the people in that building, if you talk about the players, they're not even old enough to know what it's like to beat Bama. So don't tell me how you're more invested. No, you're not. Don't insult me. I'm your paying customer, and you suck. Secondly, how irrational is it that Matthew Butler can be asked virtually the same question about the gap closing and produce a better answer than our head coach? When asked about the gap closing, Matthew Butler said, the difference is Alabama has got a winning right now, and all we've got is a winning tradition. So we're having to go back to 1998 to talk about really being good, because I get it. We talk about a lost decade. Listen, I remember 2007. I remember the trip to the SEC title game. You know what, Houston, do you know what I remember about that year? I remember that we got beat by Bama. We got beat by Georgia, and we got beat by Florida. Now, am I wrong about that, or is that correct?
In which year?
2007.
In the last time we went to the SEC title game with Ainge, didn't we lose to all three of our big rivals?
I think you beat Georgia.
Yeah.
Did we beat Georgia? Okay, see, we've been mired in such just garbage that it's hard to remember that.
We for sure didn't beat Florida or Alabama.
Yeah, definitely lost to Florida and Bama.
Unless I'm badly mistaken, I think wasn't that the Florida game where we just got trucked in the swamp? Yeah,
2007. That was the Eric Berry, Tim Tebow, pick six.
Yeah.
Here's
my problem. You know, you guys were talking about how that if you had beat Kentucky and lost to Bama, it wouldn't have. It's not that we would have been happy, but we wouldn't have been as upset. I'm going to disagree with you slightly, and here's why. I'm going to disagree because we are in year three, and we are still talking about Bama like they're our daddy. We still can't put a product on the field that, quite frankly, even has a hope of beating them. And I don't think it's because of recruiting, because if you look at the rankings, these guys can't be as bad as they played the other day. They cannot be that bad. They cannot. Those services, the recruiting services, they can't be this awful at rating recruits. So this comes down to coaching. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't think that was a Jim Chaney game plan the other day. Because I've seen Jim Chaney call plays. Jim Chaney has been known more for throwing the ball, right? Mm-hmm. When he shouldn't be throwing the ball. The other day, so you're telling me that the tiger changed the stripes, the leopard changed the spots, and suddenly Jim Chaney's running when he should be throwing? No, that's garbage. This is Jeremy Pruitt going, Houston, like you said, it's 1920, man. Let's just run ball, and play defense. Yep. The only problem is you ain't playing defense. So I'm gonna tell you the truth. I'm done. I'm out on Pruitt. I get it. We can't fire him. But what are you going to tell me? What is it that you think will win this fan base back this year? Don't say we'll beat in Florida. No, no, no. That was Butch 2016, right?
Mm.
We beat Florida. We beat Georgia. But we lost to South Carolina and Vanderbilt. So we can't run a coach who beats Florida and Georgia. No, no, no. Even though it was paper and every one of us knew it. So there's really legitimately, and I guess part of this is a culture problem, because we keep falling in love with the coaches and not the university. Listen, coaches are going to leave. Coaches are going to go, but the University of Tennessee remains the same. Either it's about the orange or it's about the coach. And for me, I'm done with the coaches. I'm done. I'm out. I'm finished with the coaches. Either I'm supporting the University of Tennessee and want them to win and do good, or I don't. I'm not pulling for the AD anymore, because if the AD can't get it straight, P.S., he's the boss. Fix it. Get in somebody's ear and fix the problem. By the way, before I hang up, I'm going to tell you guys this. What has kept my sanity through Corona, through 3 years of Pruitt, through horrible Butch, are the guys on Three and Out and Fan Run Radio. You all are absolutely what makes the University of Tennessee even bearable at this point. And I appreciate everything y'all do. Y'all hang in there, guys. Take it easy.
Thanks, Rusty.
I don't know.
I kind of feel guilty. It's like we're making people stay interested in it, and it's beating them over the head over and over again. Maybe we're doing a disservice to the fan base.
Basketball will be here soon.
That's true. We do have basketball. Thank God. Thank God.
We kind of mentioned it as far as just kind of like holding on for the future when it comes to recruiting rankings. We think we got a really good recruiting class coming in. Currently in the SEC, we're fourth, but if you look at average player rating, which is my go-to, we're seventh in the SEC. So that's not going to get it done, especially whenever you are going to be behind Georgia, Florida, Alabama. And whenever you're still getting out-coached and you're not going to get better players, I don't see reason for optimism moving forward.
Oof.
We go to Zach on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Thank you, Davey. Zach, good morning, sir.
What's up, guys?
Morning, bud.
Morning. So a couple things that I was confused about. First, I'm watching the game, and I know that we have very little chance of stopping arguably the best offense in the country. Correct.
They're up there.
I mean, and so if I'm watching the game and we have a 4th and 3 from the 50-yard line, like, why didn't we just freaking go for it? Like, it didn't matter if they get the ball at the 2-yard line or the 50-yard line. Like, they're going to score, probably. We stopped them, I think, four times when they had their starters and we had their starters. I mean, we stopped them four times in the game. And so what's the point of not going for it on fourth down? I mean, all college football is a momentum-based game. And so, you know, I think we were only down 14 to nothing at that point. It's like 14-3 in the 50. He didn't go for it. He punts it. Dude punts it in the end zone. They get the ball to 25. So really, like, you know, we save 25 yards, which they can get in one play.
Yep.
And so, I mean, like, what's the point? Just go for it. It's 3 yards.
Yeah, they got it at the 20. And, Zach, real quick, I saw people kind of just going off your point that we're saying it's 14 to nothing, and we kicked a field goal instead of going for it, and it was fourth and manageable. That one I'm a little indifferent on. At that point, I was thinking we got an opportunity just to get points, and I literally thought like a shutout was on the table. So I was like, all right, yeah, just go ahead and take the three there. But then later on, it's like, yeah, at that point, you don't have to worry about getting shut out. Just try to get as many points as possible. They're going to score. You're not going to stop them either way. So, yeah, go for it in those situations.
I mean, if we would have scored in that drive, we go in the half, it's 21-17. Like, I know that the word hope in college football is, I mean, it's like the most important word. You know, you can sell that to people. Bush Jones did it for freaking 5 years. And so, like, it's, you can sell that to your players. You can sell that to whatever. And it didn't make sense to me. The second thing that I was confused about was in this post game, he said, this is the best offensive performance that we've had all year. And I was like, we scored 17 points, bro. Like,
that's the fewest amount of points Bama's given up this season.
Yeah, Ole Miss scored 63. Like, you think that's the best offensive performance we've had all year and we scored 17 points? Like, good God. Like, how terrible are we? You know, I mean, it doesn't make sense. In my opinion, like, JG has not improved in 3 years. He's the same person that we saw when he first started, when Quentin Dormy was there. Same exact quarterback. And so he might throw a better deep ball now. Congrats. But if you put Harrison Bailey in there, I'm just saying go to the kid. I mean, they talked about him for the past 2 years that he's the guy. So go to him right now. And if he can sling it around and he looks pretty damn good, make some, you know, mistakes, but it's the same mistakes JG's making, so who really cares? But if he can sling it around, how much of a recruiting pitch is that to all the skilled players that you're recruiting? Like, dude, we got this guy. You know, now you're just saying, we got this guy. He looks really great in practice. You know, like, but if he goes on a national stage and does it, and, you know, how much of a better would that be for getting more guys on board, your fan base on board? And then if he sucks, then you're like, well, we got to go back to the drawing board, get another quarterback. I mean, I don't understand how you, like, don't know that. I think somebody on Russ's show last week was saying, like, most freshman quarterbacks, if they're studs, they're going to come in and they're going to be somewhat successful their freshman year, even if they have very little preparation. But if they pull a Nathan Peterman and go in and fumble four times in two possessions, you know, like,
you'll know. Yeah,
he's not the guy.
Exactly.
You know, he's not the guy, and I don't understand. I don't understand what his love affair with JG is, because, I mean, he's boring and he's not good. He can't throw a 3 yard slant pattern. He can't look off his primary receiver. He can't do a check down. He can't, you know where the blitz is coming at. He can't step up in the pocket. Like, these are all things that I'm seeing, and I played football in eighth grade. You know, like, they should be able to see this. Am I crazy?
No, not at all, Zach. I mean, and thanks for the call. Like, this team is boring right now. They need something to inject excitement. Like, that has to happen. And I think you're right. Like, that would show the recruits, hey, okay, we've got a quarterback at Tennessee now. Maybe he's the future. Like, you've got to give people some hope right now. And right now, that's the last thing we have. I'm not hopeful for the rest of the season if JG's the quarterback. I'm certainly not hopeful for 2021 if we don't start to get somebody else ready. Like, you've got opportunities now over the last five games. You got a bye week now and a winnable game against Arkansas. Now's the time to get people back on board, and I think you do that by bringing in some fresh meat at quarterback. Maybe it's Maurer, maybe it's Bailey. either way, like if one of those guys will take the job and run with it, you're going to have him for the next at least two years. That would make more sense to me than the fifth-year senior who we think doesn't make that many mistakes in practice, so we play him anyway, but then when he makes a mistake in a game, it's a train wreck. It's a bad combination. Appreciate the phone call, Zach. We'll go to T-Carp next. He's been patiently waiting. T-Carp, are you out? Are you with Davey? Are you out with everybody else that's jumped ship?
No. You can't. As much as I want to be, if you look at this realistically, you can't be out on this guy just yet. Who are you going to get that's going to be any better that will honestly take the job and not like make us look like a bunch of idiots? We've been 10 years of this screwed up coaching searches. No one worth his salt will take the job right now. You know, if you were a great up-and-coming coach, and Tennessee called you and said, hey, would you take this job? Looking at the last three things that happened, three coaches, would you take the job, Houston, right now?
If they fired Pruitt right now, no, I would not take the job.
That's exactly my point.
It's a lot of money, too unstable of a position. Who cares? I could sit on my ass and get paid $10 million to do nothing.
That's not the kind of coach you want to attract.
No,
though.
But if you have a guy who has the mentality of I'm going to be a winner, why would he turn it down?
Because he can look and see where the track is if he's going to actually have good administration behind him, if he can get decent coaches. I just don't see it happening. But anyway, besides the fact I don't think this administration can find that guy anyway, the up-and-comer that would actually do a good job. But you just can't get rid of this guy just yet. I believe that Chaney can get it turned around on the offense. But this week, you have got to cut ties with Karen Tanner. It's got to be over. Thank you so much for your service. And you've got to roll with Bailey or Maurer. I think Bailey is the call for the rest of the season. You do that, you inject life into this fan base. You may win one game. I don't care, but you've got the fan base interested again. You have to do that. So many are checking out. It's got to be the play. You took a big stinker at Kentucky, and you didn't even try against Alabama. When it's 3rd and 7, and you don't throw the ball, and you just run it right into the back of your left tackle, I mean, come on. You're not trying. And then you throw some deep bombs, and then you run a onside kick to make us think you're trying, but we know you're trying. We know you're not trying. So you've got to get it together. Whatever the problems that are behind the scenes, you've got to get them worked out. You know, Pruitt, you can't just go on rants. You can't act like a flipping maniac behind the scenes. You can't just fire people. You know, you've got to do a better job, and if that means going and taking a coaching or leadership course during this week, do it. Do what you got to do. But, man, there's got to be – I don't know, Phillip's got to go in there and like, listen, man, I don't care if you want to get fired and go be a defensive coordinator somewhere else. Like, this is your job right now. Do this. And I think Fulmer needs to go in there and challenge some people. Is like, do you want to be here or not? And we got to see some effort from the coaching staff and some accountability from the coaching staff at the highest level. So, in my opinion, if Bailey doesn't start Arkansas, then you know that this coaching staff has mailed it in for the rest of the season, and that really concerns me. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, T-Carp. I would love to know, and we obviously won't because Jim Chaney is not allowed to speak to the media. I would love to know who he wants in at quarterback. Like, does Jim Chaney want Garantano every week? Who is making that decision?
I don't think he does. I mean, that period, Davey, you kind of mentioned it at the beginning. It felt like there was a period where he was calling plays kind of in protest. Like,
because I don't, I don't know if it's protest or he just knows, hey, I'd love to call this play here. I just don't think I can call it and it not end up in a pick.
Yeah.
Tyler Bray took over halfway through the season. I'm really hopeful that that's what happens this week and that we get Harrison Bailey. I realize that Bray was an early enrollee and had more time. He had spring practice, but you've got to start looking ahead now. If the plan by this coaching staff is to roll out JG in 2021, then they're not going to have a job by the end of the year, in my opinion. Is it risky? Sure, but that's kind of been the problem with this staff is that they haven't taken many chances. They don't like risk. With risk comes reward. You cannot be risk. You can't avoid it. It's just that's the nature of the game.
What are you playing for at this point? Obviously, you're not making the SEC championship game. I mean, Georgia's got zero SEC losses. You have three. They own the tiebreaker. So theoretically, they would have to lose four and you'd have to win out. And we know that's not happening.
At this point, I think you're playing to salvage this season and for 2021. Like that, to me, that means a lot of young players and trying to find a quarterback. And maybe you don't have a quarterback on the roster. Maybe you just don't. But I think you need to start trying to work one in and see if maybe, just maybe, they get into these games and they're ballers. Maybe it's Caden Salter next year. Maybe it's Ty Simpson the year after that. I don't know. But JG ain't it. Every staff that's tried has realized this. And they've all either been fired or are on the chopping block now with fan bases calling for their job. Like, you have to make the move. This play it safe with the fifth-year senior, it's not inspiring anybody.
No.
And it's not winning you enough games to matter. You're not good enough everywhere else to roll out a guy like JG. And then, even if you were, he's still going to have those black hole moments where he gives you, the 14 points to the other team or three turnovers in a row. Like, that's just what happens. Team needs a shot in the arm. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Final segment, hour number two, after this. Straight back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We go now to Eric calling to weigh in. How we feeling, Eric?
What's up, guy?
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm just driving around.
Hey, man. I'm starting to believe this whole this idea of a paper trail being linked from Garantano to Butch Jones. And that's why they can't get him off the field. And everybody's handcuffed. Everybody's pissed off. They can't sell the players. The players have no clue why he keeps going out there, causing division. I don't know, man. It just seems like the...
You think he's got dirt? Is that what you're saying? Like, he's got pictures or...
No. Not pictures. I think Butch Jones actually paid to get Garantano.
Oh, and they're worried that if they let him go, he'll blow it all up on his way out the door?
Either that or somebody in his family or associated to him. Somebody knows something, and their hands are tied. Like, that sucks. So, I mean, not that that's, I don't know if that's true, but I feel like I've racked my brain for, like, half a year now. Like, I can't figure out anything that makes more sense or something like that.
My question would be, to that point, if you're Jeremy Pruitt and you inherited that and it were to come out, like, Tennessee has a completely different administration now. Like, we have a new president, new chancellor, new AD, new coaching staff.
Like, the NCAA, man. They don't care. They bomb you anyway.
Yeah, you just lie.
What's the statute of limitations here? Like, is it 3 years? So at the end of this year, can we tell them to take a walk and not bring them back for redshirt senior year? Or we got to roll this guy out again next year because he's got the dirt?
If you see him come back next year, you know I'm right.
I don't want to think about it.
I can't think of anything else, man. I'm just so tired of just everything. Like, I'm just coming up with this crazy stuff in my head.
No, this is where we are, man. Like, this is it. We keep rolling this guy out there. We keep rolling him out there. He's not a good quarterback, and so now we have to convince ourselves that he has he's got the dirt on the program, and he's holding us hostage.
I mean, I asked y'all earlier. I know y'all are busy doing stuff, but, like, how many quarterbacks do you see transfer if this keeps up? Like,
Do we see Bailey leave? He's like, well, they're not going to even give me a chance. I'm out. Mauer's out. Stroud's out. Like, what happens if we're down to just this guy?
That's a good question.
That's a reality.
Thanks for the call. I mean, surely not, right? Would you risk that if you're Jeremy Pruitt? You risk running off Mauer, Trout, Bailey, because you got to keep JG in the hopper due to some extenuating circumstance? Like, that's coaching suicide. Like, he's firing himself at that point.
Yep.
Unless, I mean, I guess at that point, Fulmer would know also. So maybe that's why Fulmer's going to bat for JP, giving him the raise and the extension. Say, hey, I know you got to keep this guy for one or two more years, so I'm going to go ahead and guarantee you that I'm not going to fire you because you have to start this guy because he's going to bomb the program on his way out if you do. That would be so Tennessee it hurts. Like, it's so unbelievable that I actually can make sense of that that theory.
Nothing is impossible for this university.
It makes sense based on the play on the field. Like, yeah, we don't want to play this guy either, but we have to because we're going to go get bombed by the NCAA if he spills the beans here.
Speaking of Butch Jones, by the way, so I was in the student section right next to where they come out of the tunnel, the Alabama staff and players.
Mm. Was he there? Did you see him?
He was.
Oh, good.
Yeah. When they were going off the field after their warm-ups, people were, of course, yelling things I cannot say on air.
Naturally.
He held up 9 fingers. He looked at one of the guys and went, he gave a big old grin and held up 9 fingers. We were trying to figure out what it means. The closest I could guess was that maybe, because he's getting paid $8.26 million.
That was his buyout number?
Yeah.
I don't know what the 9 could represent.
Or the 9 losses to Florida, Georgia, and Alabama?
No, he's not. Like, he's petty, but he would do something other than that. Like, I don't.
Maybe he meant to hold up 8.24 fingers and couldn't quite do it. Did he have one kind of curled down a little bit?
A little bit. I don't know. I couldn't tell. It was very quick. I wish I'd videoed it.
I'm just glad they didn't release the pictures of him smoking a cigar in the locker room. Did you see any of those? Did that happen?
I saw Mac Jones and...
I didn't see the Mac Jones one.
Mac Jones is built like a potato.
He can sling the tater, though. That's why he's so good at it. He can identify with potatoes and taters. Guy's got a good arm.
Yeah.
I did not give him enough credit last year when he came in. I was like, this guy's not very good. He's really good. I mean, it helps that he's got, you know, the best receiving core in the country, even when Waddle's not out there.
Yeah, we took out their best receiver and still.
Yes, it doesn't matter. They're Alabama. They just got another 5-star running 4-2 they bring in. That's the thing, though. I'm not that mad about the Bama game. I'm just mad about the Bama game after the Kentucky game.
Yep.
Like, you laid an egg against Kentucky. That's why everyone's so mad at the Alabama game.
It's because it's after the Kentucky game, and it's before the Arkansas game, which should be winnable. But I think we can all see a future where Tennessee is 2-4 after that game if they don't make a change.
Elite Volunteers tweets in and says that Butch was probably acknowledging that he's the only coach to get us to 9 wins in the last 10 years.
Ooh.
Might be it. Might be it.
Yay.
So if we start JG against Arkansas, I really might have to buy into the theory that he's holding us hostage with something.
Why would he not start against Arkansas?
Because what are you playing for at this point? You just asked the question. You just made your own point. Like, that's what's the point? What are you trying to develop him for next year? Like, you're not winning the East. You're not going to win out with JG at quarterback.
Trying to help his draft stock.
We're not playing for a bowl game this year.
Yeah, like, we're guaranteed a bowl game if we won it. Actually, I think I read there aren't enough bowl games to go around for all the teams that are going to be eligible. So, like, they are just going to pick.
Mm.
So even if we go 2-8, like, we might not get one, even though technically we could.
Tennessee fans travel well. We've got that going for us.
It ain't going to travel well at 2-8, no. Alex. I promise you that.
You got a point.
Yeah, start number 2 in the bowl game. See if we travel well. You got to... If I'm Jeremy Pruitt, and I don't know exactly what the details are behind the scenes, but this week I'm saying, Jim Chaney, it's your offense. Run it like you want it. I'm going to go focus on the defensive line. I'm going to focus on the defense. If you want to throw it 50 times a game, throw it 50 times a game. You want to start Mauer, you want to start Bailey, do it. But whatever you do, like, realize that we have to start working that now for next year. Because we cannot be this let's win 24-14 team for the next, like, it ain't going to work. You cannot be boring and bad. I don't think we're very good. I think we're better than we've shown, but I think we're hamstrung by the quarterback play, and I think we're hamstrung by the plays you can call when you have JG in the game.
How many more games do we win this year?
Who's my starting quarterback?
Probably Jared Garantano. It's probably what you're – I mean
– if JG starts the next five games, I think you'll win one of them, maybe two.
I say two, but then I think about who the opponents are. A&M, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida –
He'd have one of those lights out games against like Auburn or A&M, and maybe you'd win it. And then I think you're going to beat Vanderbilt just because they're bad. We'll kick off hour three after this. Get to Davey's Titans. My Titans too.
Yikes.
Bad weekend.